Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as you utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. The goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when unlocking purpose and being intentional have never been more important. And as such, we have with us today a very, very special guest. His name is John R. Miles. With over two decades of military and corporate leadership experience, John is the trusted advisor sought after by some of the world's most prominent companies and visionary entrepreneurs. As a celebrated leader, captivating keynote speaker, and the host of an award-winning podcast, John is on a mission to help individuals unlock their untapped potential, challenge the status quo, and embark on a journey toward a profoundly meaningful and purpose-driven life, which truly matters. He's also an author. He's written a very timely and wonderful book entitled Passion Struck: 12 Powerful Principles to Unlock Your Purpose and Ignite Your Most Intentional Life. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, John.
Greg, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here and given the opportunity to serve your audience.
The excitement is all ours and the honor is all ours as well. Can we share with the listeners and me from what city and state you are speaking from this morning?
Well, when this episode comes out, I'm sure a lot of the listeners are going to be jealous when they hear this, but I live in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is part of the Tampa Bay area.
You've already made this host and the listener very, very jealous. No question about that. John, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about your amazing military career, your corporate career, your career as an author. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. We're going to go back just into your childhood just a bit, if that's okay. We're very curious, what in your personal childhood journey made you stronger and in full pursuit of a can-do, will-do, and win mindset? Share with us, please.
Greg, I've never publicly shared this story before, so I'm going to do something here that I've never talked about.
Oh, thank you.
When I was 5 or 6 years old, I was living in Bay Village, Ohio, which is outside of Cleveland, and was playing in my backyard when one of the neighborhood kids pushed me on my back, and I went flying in the air, and my head crashed through the basement window, and it ended up giving me a concussion. I was knocked out, had to get all kinds of stitches.
Oh.
And coming out of that incident, my mind was broken. I started having speech impediments. I wasn't thinking like I used to be able to, and it ended
Oh.
up causing me to have a whole bunch of learning difficulties. So as I was growing up, and I went to parochial school, a lot of kids made fun of me. And so I grew up, and I was already an introvert. I grew up kind of afraid to speak, afraid to put myself out there because I stuttered. I had problems with losing words. And so I had to
Oh.
go through a lot of speech impediment training. I had to go through treatments for severe migraines I was having and a whole bunch of other things. So because of this, it really made me grow up that I had to start seeing this not as a detriment to my life, but that it was a gift. And it was an early test for me to learn how to overcome. And so I took that as a challenge throughout my childhood that I would figure out a way to combat it so that I could overcome it and create a winning mindset. And I think that ingrained in me at that early stage and has kind of been a foundation that has propelled me forward in my career.
Absolutely amazing. Here at Seton Hall, we have the motto, Hazard, Zed Forward, Advance Despite Difficulties. What a great role model you are for us, John, of Hazard, Zed Forward. Now, let's fast forward, if you don't mind, because you had an amazing C-suite role, if we understand correctly, and then you left it. What on earth compelled you to leave this amazing C-suite role?
Greg, I know a lot of your listeners are college-age kids, and I love talking to this audience because I have a 25-year-old and a 19-year-old who's a sophomore at the University of Florida.
Wow.
And I think it's so important that as they're coming into the world, they're setting their priorities correct. And there was a great book that came out in 2003 by Tim Kasser. He wrote about the high price of materialism. And he offered this scientific explanation of how so many of us today in contemporary culture are trying to guide our lives and our careers around success, materialism, etc. And what he really explains in this book, and it's just profound, is the impact that that has on our everyday health and our psychological health and our overall happiness. And so what happened to me is I had a career that people would have dreamed to have. At 39, I was the CIO for a Fortune 50 company.
Wow.
But I think, like many people, I had this inner voice from God where he kept whispering in my ear that the path I was on was not the unique path that he created me for. And it's interesting because I had a fantastic interview with my friend Andreas Widmer, who leads the MBA program at Catholic University in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
And Andreas, early in his life, when he was the same age as many of these college kids we're talking to, was listless. He didn't know what to do with his life. And he got an opportunity to be a Swiss guard for Pope John Paul II.
Oh, wow.
And he tells me that Pope John Paul II was one of the most humble people he had ever met. And when you think about all the things that a Pope has to deal with, he said, not only for him, but for everyone around him, when you met with him, he treated you as if you were the only thing that mattered in the whole world.
Oh.
And he told him that he could see that he was struggling. And he gave Andreas this message and became a mentor to him. And he said, Andreas, the reason that you're listless is because you are not doing the self-awareness to understand the uniqueness that God created in you. And your life journey is to figure out how do you exploit that uniqueness in the service of others. And I tell that story because that is exactly what I was going through. I had chased all the things that were kind of brought up to chase. I wanted the money, the big car, the everything. And I reached this point where I had all those things, but I was empty inside. I was unhappy. I wasn't living to my core values. I wasn't living to the spiritual beliefs that I'd been brought up to. And I was ignoring that inner voice. And it finally, I think God has a way that at first he kind of taps you on the shoulder, then he might try to trip you up. Then he starts swinging a baseball bat at you and eventually took a sledgehammer for me to understand I'm supposed to be doing something else. So a long-winded answer, but I think it's important for the listeners to understand.
Absolutely. I can really relate to that because before becoming a Franciscan brother, I had a 29-year career in pharmaceuticals. And I was chasing a lot of the same thing you were as well, not nearly as successful in my career as yours. But thanks be to God, I got that message that God wanted me to live differently, love differently, do different things, certainly become a Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn. And the rest is history. So thank you for sharing that amazing story of yours. Now, in this great book of yours, Passion Struck, you talk about this concept of intentionality. How does intentionality play a role in overcoming self-doubt and achieving personal fulfillment, John? Tell us all about this, please.
Yeah, Greg, I think it's important here to tell a little bit of story, and I'm going to tell a story from my college career. And I ended up going to the Naval Academy. And while I was there, it's one of those places where you have to take deliberate action if you want to get through. And I happened to be reading the book Grit by Angela Duckworth, which I'm sure many of the students have probably read before. And in there, she starts out talking about cadets at West Point. And she highlights that it was their physical abilities, passion, and perseverance that got them through. Now, having the firsthand knowledge I do, I think that those things were absolutely critical. But I think she's missing the most vital ingredient, and that is intentionality. The concept of intentionality is absolutely the cornerstone of my book, because it's the deliberate and conscious effort to shape one's lives according to their beliefs, their goals, the spiritual beliefs that they've been brought up in, and aspirations. And more importantly, it's about making choices that are aligned, not just what one wants to achieve, but also, and more importantly, with who one wants to become. And I tell this story about the Naval Academy because when I was there, I was one of the leaders who was on the honor committee. And unfortunately, we had the largest cheating scandal in the school's history unfold while I was there. And I tell this because you look at these students, they were juniors at the time that this happened. And did they have passion and perseverance? Obviously, they had made it that point, but they were unintentional with their choices when over half the student body decided that they were going to cheat on this final double E exam, putting everything that they wanted to achieve in jeopardy. And I tell this story because I think so often in life, when it comes to these things such as self-doubt and achieving personal fulfillment, what ends up happening is we end up taking the easy choices instead of the hard choices. And the easy choices are the things like going out and drinking with your buddies instead of knowing that you have a test coming up and you should stay in and study for it.
Sure.
But more importantly, it's making choices that go against your core values, your spiritual beliefs, because that's the easy thing to do. It's much harder to make those more difficult choices. But let me just tell these students, here's what's going to happen. If you keep making the easy decisions in your life, you're going to end in a waterfall of despair and unhappiness. If you make the powerful, harder decisions in life, you're going to end up in a tsunami of greatness. And it's so important for you to realize that it's those micro choices, those tiny habits that you develop that either amount into more and more negativity or more and more positivity and accomplishment in your life.
Boy, I could really relate to this because I made a lot of bad decisions those years and a lot of bad choices those years in Big Pharma, certainly. Now, it's very, very interesting because in the book, you've got what you call the Passion Struck Framework. Share with us, please, if you don't mind, a principle, a key principle or two from the framework and how they might contribute to personal growth and transformation.
So you're right. In the book, I have something called the Passion Struck Framework, and it's a bigger, it's a component of what I call the Passion Struck Model. And the Passion Struck Model, if you think of this as two Mickey Mouse ears that are circles, and then a circle below it that's kind of his mouth. They represent mindset shifts, behavior shifts, and the last circle is deliberate action. And the framework really consists of 6 mindset shifts and 6 behavior shifts. So I'll talk about 2 of them.
Please.
I think a great one for this audience is something that I call the mosquito auditor. And
mosquito auditor.
I love using metaphors, and I was listening to a radio program just like we're talking today, and the host of the show asked the audience, what do you think is the most deadly animal on the planet? And I'm sure, like many of the listeners, I was thinking of some of the creatures that are in Australia or maybe a great white shark, and I wasn't even remotely close. The mosquito is by far the most deadly animal on the planet and kills between a million and 2 million people yearly, more than sharks, all the sharks will do in 100 years. And it got me thinking, these mosquitoes that are around us, they're invisible most of the time, and we don't realize the pain that they inflict on us until they bite us. Mm-hmm. Yet we often hear them buzzing around and we don't do anything about it. And I think the same thing is true for human mosquitoes that are in our lives, that are keeping us from our aspirations. And it's so vital that we learn how to recognize those human mosquitoes so that we know how to deal with them. And so in the book, I lay out 3 different types of mosquitoes. The first is the bloodsucker. And this is the person who is that boundary destroyer that we all know, who just wants to suck the blood out of you.
Sure.
The next one is the invisible influencer. And this is that person that is so pessimistic. You get that opportunity. Maybe it's the course that you've always wanted. And they say, yes, but the instructor is so difficult. How are you going to be able to manage that? Or the last one is, I think, a crowd favorite, which is the pain in the ass. That person that just nags at you so much that their voice has to be heard. I think we all know who that person is.
Sure.
But the important thing is to start looking at your inner circle and to start recognizing these 3 types and if they are invisibly infiltrating it. Because if they are, they're going to keep you from achieving the goals that you want. Another one I talk about is the perspective harnesser. And this is a story that I tell with my Naval Academy classmate. His name is Chris Cassidy. Chris was a Navy SEAL, honor man for his buds class, received in Afghanistan the Bronze Star with Valor for, I mean, his story is so incredible. He and his team of SEALs, this small group, gets sent into Afghanistan to examine this cave complex that they thought Al-Qaeda was operating in. And they thought that it was this small remote post. While he's out there, they discover that the thing is 150 miles of tunnels. There are hundreds and hundreds of buildings and almost 20,000 individuals who are part of it. And he's ordered.
Goodness.
And he and this small team of 8 guys are ordered to take it out. He performs one of the most harrowing missions of all of Afghanistan. It's basically a legend in the SEAL community, and effectively does that and destroys over, I think it was 1 million pounds of bombs and other things.
Oh, wow.
And then Chris went on and he became a NASA astronaut and the chief astronaut. And I asked him during all of this, what was the thing that allowed you to continue to achieve these things? And he said, I became a perspective harnesser. He goes, from my time at the Naval Academy to when I was in BUDS to that time I was in Afghanistan, I realized that trying times end, and that so oftentimes we get in these adverse moments in our life and we have this perspective that we're never going to be able to get through it. And he said, I changed my perspective to see it as an elastic band. And at some points in our lives, it expands. But you need to realize that it's going to contract again and that you have control over how you're going to do it. But that perspective that you have when you're facing rejection, when you're facing obstacles, is so vitally important. And so I think those are two great ones for the audience.
Thank you so, so much. And before the end of the show, we're going to find out where our audience can buy this great book so they can get the rest of these nuggets, certainly. Now, speaking of the book, it draws insights from various journeys of some luminaries here. Did you want to share maybe one compelling story from an individual that really encapsulates the essence of the passion-struck mindset and its inner impact on life?
Yeah, I'll share a great one. I think I shared just one with Chris, but another one I'm going to cover is this guy, Jim McKelvey, who the kids probably don't understand. But Jim was a glassblower and he was an entrepreneur, but he loved being an artist. And he blew this beautiful piece of glass and a person wanted to buy it and they didn't know how to purchase it because they didn't have cash. They didn't have a check. They only had a credit card and he couldn't take it back in those days. So he started down this path of what can I do to solve this problem? And he found, as I started out at the beginning of our talk, he discovered that his uniqueness was being able to see this problem through a different lens. And he found a problem that he was passionate about solving. So he enlisted the help of his friend, Jack Dorsey, who many people probably know. He founded Twitter. And the two of them together went on a journey of trying to solve this issue. And Jim, in a vision, came up with this card reader that you would put in your phone that you could swipe a credit card with. And it ended up culminating in becoming Square, the company that we all know.
Oh,
and Jim
my
is now
goodness.
is now a billionaire. Oh. But the important thing that he talks about is that we need to become a mission angler in our life. And so many people don't think about life crafting. And more importantly, what we end up doing is we end up orienting our life in the gaps versus the gain. So this is an important lesson for the people out there. As Jim was on this journey, he could have easily measured himself against other entrepreneurs who were out there. And when you're doing that, you're actually operating in the gap because you're trying to compare yourself to an impossible goal.
Oh.
And the core message that he talks about is that he started to compare himself to his prior self. And so as he was doing that, he saw all the gains that he was making, and that allowed him to continue on this journey to becoming the future self that he envisioned. So I think that's a great one.
Oh, that is so wonderful, because so many times I know our college students, but even older people like myself, we will compare ourselves against others versus comparing ourselves to our best self. And to see the growth from 23 into now 24 where we are. So, great, great nuggets. Thank you very, very much. Sadly, time is short. We've only got about 7 minutes. I've got some important questions still to ask you. In your opinion, what distinguishes passion struck from other self-help or personal development books on the market? What unique perspective or approach do you think it offers to readers seeking personal growth?
I have this belief that we don't pay for information. We pay for the application of information. And so what makes Passion Struck unique is this book wasn't meant to be read. I wrote it because it's meant to be lived. I created a book that will show anyone, regardless of where they are in their lives, how to create Passion Struck life, a life of enduring significance, where you understand how you matter in the universe, why God has called you to be here, and how you can create the life of your dreams. And it's so important for these kids to understand this, because another great university, Cornell, did a 2018 study where they looked at thousands and thousands of individuals who were older in their life, and they asked all of them, what is your biggest regret in life? 76% came back with the biggest regret they had is that they didn't aspire to become the person that they wanted to become when they were in college. And what I have done in Passion Struck is given the secrets away for how the luminaries like Jim McKelvey, Chris Cassidy, and others have built the life that they've wanted. And more importantly, I give you exercises. I have QR codes in there. So if you read the book, you get access to all kinds of tools, tips, and exercises you can do to not only read the book, but to apply it in your life so that you take the actions to create the life that you want.
I have never in all our 17 years on the air, John, heard someone say, my book is not meant to be read. It's meant to be lived. Wow. I could see why that stands out and why Passion Struck stands apart from all the rest that's out there. Now, one of the phrases I believe you use, I don't know if you've trademarked this or this is an original, is a pinball life. What does it mean to live a pinball life? And why is it critical for individuals to break free now that we're in 2024 from this aimless approach to living? Help us out here.
Yeah, Greg, I think we hear all the time people are living on autopilot. And for any of us who've ever been in an airplane, I think it's the wrong analogy, because if you're on autopilot, the plane is still going in a direction. It's still going to a destination. I think the analogy we really should be thinking is, you think of all those 76% of people who didn't live the life they aspired to. Why is it? Because we allow ourselves to become the pinball in the game of pinball. And if you think about that ball, it has no intention on earth. It is completely unintentional, and it goes throughout its patterns completely in random order, bouncing off everything that it comes into, being distracted by the world around it, all the noises, everything. And to me, it is such a better metaphor for how so many people are living their lives addicted to technology, addicted to alcohol and drugs, addicted to porn, addicted to whatever you want to say it is, instead of taking control of the game of pinball, which is the game of life God put you on earth that is so uniquely yours to win every single day and live the life of your dreams. And so I want you, instead of being a pinball, to be the master pinball player, so you know how to control that ball and put it in the places in your life where you want to attain this life of flourishing and of meaning.
Oh, this is amazing, certainly. So the pinball life is where we're just bouncing aimlessly, as you said, all over the place, certainly, and not taking control of our lives. And it's so wonderful we have you on early in 2024, because our goal for this year, for the listeners of Thank God for Monday, is to make 2024 a year, the greatest year of their life, and a year of breaking free from, as you say, those addictions and those things that are holding us back from happiness, fulfillment, and maximum contribution. We can't thank you enough for being here again today. And thus, I saved the most important question for last, John. Where can our loyal listeners purchase Passion Struck? How can they best follow you, please?
So, Greg, thank you so much for having me today on the show. It was such an honor, especially to speak to this audience. You can purchase the book at Amazon or wherever you purchase books, but I'm going to tell you, if you go to the passionstruck.com website and you go to the book tab and you pre-order this before it comes out, I give you over $300 of free gifts that I've specially curated for the audience. These are ebooks on how to take deliberate action, how to create intrinsic motivation in your life, how to find your passion, a master course that I'm giving away to the audience. So just think that for $20 to $30, you could possess the thing that can absolutely change your life. And if you want to learn more about this, I also have the Passion Struck podcast, and it's all about these same themes. And I have had some of the greatest thinkers in the world on this podcast, from BJ Fogg, who wrote Tiny Habits, to Susan Cain, Dan Pink, Katie Milkman, so many thought leaders that can give you the tools to succeeding in life.
Oh, this is amazing. I just want to make sure it's just PASSIONSTRUCK.com, passionstruck.com.
Listeners, absolutely, Greg.
No excuse. We have a great Franciscan with us today. You know, he could have held on to all this greatness inside of him. No, what did he do? He wrote this amazing book. He came on Thank God for Monday and shared. Now it's your turn. Buy one copy of this book for yourself. Buy multiple copies and share the good. In particular, if you have nieces, nephews, other students that you know, this book, the holiday season may have come and gone. We're into January, but there's still time to give gifts to one another. Let's make 2024 the greatest year of our lives. And this book, Passion Struck, can go a long way of doing that. And as John said, you go to passionstruck.com, you're going to get a lot of free information and materials, $300 worth. Very, very generous Franciscan we have with us today. John R. Miles, thank you, thank you, thank you for gracing us early in the year on Thank God for Monday. We've been enlightened much more. We've been inspired. There's no doubt we can ignite our lives in 2024. There's no doubt we can be much more intentional this year. And you've gotten us started to doing that. Continued success, happiness, and great contribution. I didn't mention it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your service to our great country as well.
Greg, thank you so much for having me here. It was my honor to be here.
The honor was all ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like John does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.